Hey, welcome to AZ Update Episode 4. I'm your host, Anthony Bartolo, and joined as always with...
Thomas Maurer.
Thomas, how's it going, my friend?
I'm doing great. I hope you too.
Oh, good, good. It's been a very busy week. A lot of us are prepping for Build, as you know, both of us are. But there was a lot of announcements this week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's like, especially, I mean, in Azure, we had a couple of things, but also some other interesting news in Microsoft, right?
Well, you and I are both, you know, device geeks. And, you know, this week, Panos came out. Interesting, you actually announced it on Instagram, which was awesome. A new Surface Go 2, a new Surface Book 3, a new Surface Headphones 2, and Surface Earbuds. As well as the docking station, so the new Surface Pro docking station, and the new Surface Pro travel hut. And yep. We were talking about this just before the show, as in terms of, you know, what have you bought already? Because I know as soon as the announcements go out, you're running out there and you're buying these items. I tell you, I can't wait to swap out my Surface Book 2 for a 3. Scott Hanselman apparently has had one for a couple of weeks and loves it. I know, it's... He's got one. Why can't we get one?
Yep.
So, as you probably were aware, the first two episodes of this show was actually produced on the Surface Book 2. So definitely, you know, interested in getting my hands on the 3. Which of the items that you heard of thus far, Thomas, were you most interested in?
Yeah, so it was definitely and also an expensive week. Not just an interesting week, but also expensive. I was waiting for the Surface earbuds for a while, right? I already own the Surface headphone version 1. They're great, but they're pretty big. And I don't like when I put them in my bag just for calls and stuff like that when I travel, they're a little bit taking too much space, right? Earbuds would be fine. And so I ordered the earbuds. I obviously needed to upgrade my Surface Headphones 1 to the version 2. And the great thing about them, they now have a black version, which matches perfectly with my Surface Laptop 3 and the Surface Pro X, which I have here. So I'm super happy about that. And I have to be honest, I sold my old Surface Go a couple of months ago, and I ordered a Surface Go 2. I couldn't order the docking station yet in Switzerland. I would have ordered the docking station as well, but I couldn't. I obviously, if someone wants to give me a Surface Book 3, I wouldn't say no. But yeah,
Scott, that's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, I was like, why does he have one? Why? Well, it's okay that he has one. I'm absolutely fine with that. But I think we should have one too, right? So...
So devices team and panels, if you're watching, we'd love to grab a couple of units to actually have on the show.
Oh yeah, I'm absolutely happy to hold it in the picture frame all the time instead of my face. I mean, I would do that. I absolutely would do that. By the way, something which was not in the news, which people just found in the store itself, there are now new sleeves you can order for the Surface Go as well as for the Surface Pro. So in different nice colors and stuff like that. They did not really announce it anywhere, but they just popped up in the store. I'm not really a sleeve guy for my notebooks, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yep. Well, let's get started with the news. Thomas, I think you're up first.
Yes. So let me quickly share my screen here. We had some really big news this week, which I want to share. And here we go. Basically, the Azure team announced the next evolution of Azure VMware Solutions. So this is actually a really, really big announcement if you're, for example, a company which uses VMware and you're looking at different Azure solutions, right, in different clouds and what you want to do, or you need to move a lot of services to the cloud and what is the best way of doing that. And we are now basically announcing it as a first-party service. It's now not together with a partner. It's really just Microsoft operating it. It's also VMware certified. So it's actually a real supported solution by Microsoft. I mean, this is one of the hell freezes over again news, right? Where we were very surprised again when we saw this. And I think it's pretty cool. I think it's a very good thing if you, for example, have VMware skills today, and you probably want to looking at cloud solutions and you're going to go in the cloud, but you still want to leverage your existing skills. This gives you obviously the opportunity to do that.
Now, as if I'm a VMware shop, I'm currently running VMware in my architecture, why would I take advantage of this? What would be the benefit for my organization to do so?
Yeah, so there are a couple of reasons why you actually would run VMware on Azure. And again, we get this question a lot. I mean, you can also use Azure Migrate, for example, to move VMs from VMware to Azure VMs, right? But just to highlight a couple of key scenarios, basically, one of them, which is like we hear a lot, is like when you need to do a really fast data center retirement or migration to Azure, and you don't really want to go out and like convert all these VMs to Azure VMs by running VMware on-prem and then also running VMware in Azure, you can basically migrate really, really quickly. Another scenario is also where you need data center expansion, right? So for example, you have your VMware environment on-prem, but for a certain amount of time, you need some additional resources. You just go out to Azure, you connect your on-prem to Azure, and then you basically deploy new resources. And again, you can use the VMware console, as you know, right? The vCenter, the vSphere vCenter, and stuff like that to manage all these resources. Like you did on-prem, you can also do the Azure stuff. But the Azure stuff, the VMware solutions on Azure, is also integrated into the portal and Azure Resource Manager. So you get the best of both worlds. So you can go out and say, hey, okay, right now I'm really familiar with the VMware tools, so I'm going to use them. But then you can transition to start using the Azure Resource Manager and the Azure portal to manage that. So those are all options, and obviously there are much more reasons why you would use that, but that is that for me, those are really the main reasons why you would use that.
Interesting. That's cool. Okay, let's continue on with the news. Next up is the announcement that you can create custom roles in your RBAC implementation inside of the Azure portal. Now, if you joined us for the Microsoft Ignite the Tour while the tour was going on and you attended the governance sessions, you learned about custom roles and how they can be created through the modification of JSON templates. A lot of feedback, and this is the beauty of interacting with our team, a lot of the feedback that was captured was such that, you know, I'm not really great at modifying or creation of new JSON templates. I don't have time to upskill in terms of that modification. Can Microsoft help make it easier for our organization to create custom roles by using the GUI and using the portal? And in you know, capturing that feedback and sharing that with the engineering team, they've gone forth and they've actually created this solution based on your feedback, you know, viewers of our show and those who are attending the event itself, in regards to creating a way to implement a solution to create custom roles for RBAC using the GUI. And so we're sharing, you know, and all the links are being shared on the blog if you go to itopsoc.com for the latest post. But here's the actual steps in terms of how to actually do this and create the custom roles in the GUI itself. Now, custom roles that you may want to create, maybe, you know, just an individual to have the ability to reboot a service or reboot a virtual machine. You know, some of the roles, the optimal way to implement a role or to choose a role is to find the ones that are there currently. If you can't find one, then, you know, creating a custom role is what you would do. But it's always advised to use the roles that are there first. But in this scenario, now you don't have to modify the JSON template anymore. You can actually create the custom role from the GUI itself, and the steps are all provided for you here.
Yeah, I think this is just great, right? I mean, moving like to actually like something people can better understand, I think that's a great improvement. Coming up next, I want to quickly talk about a blog post we released this week. And this one is about how you actually can troubleshoot your Azure VMs, right? So if you look at, for example, if you're running Azure VMs, they have different network adapters and stuff like that. And then suddenly you don't have connection to that VM anymore, right? Something probably misconfigured the network adapter, some IP address changes, and you don't have like remote desktop access or SSH access or something like that. And you need to fix this or at least see what's going on. There's an option we have in the Azure portal or in Azure Resource Manager, I have to say, which allows you to run scripts against your Azure VM or using the guest agent inside the Azure VM. So even though your Azure VM, for example, does not have connectivity to your private network or whatever, you can still execute the script. And I did that in the blog post. I quickly gave some information how you can do that. One of the options is you can basically go to the portal and then just scroll down on your VM. You have an option called run command, and there you can go in. And if it's a Windows VM, you already have a couple of PowerShell scripts ready for you to basically fire against your VM, right? So they're like basic troubleshooting tools, like give me an IP config, give me the IP configuration. It allows me to basically reset RDP settings, for example, if I did some like permission changes, which blocked me out or something like that. So there are certain scripts, and you can also run your custom PowerShell script inside your Azure VM if it's a Windows VM. If it's a Linux VM, you also have a couple of commands there, which you can run against your VMs, which are already ready for you to use, or you can run your own bash script against your machine there, right? So I think this is pretty cool. And again, it's not just the portal. It's also, you can also use Azure PowerShell or the Azure CLI or the API to run scripts against your VM using the Azure Guest Agent. So pretty cool solution. Yep. There's also something, by the way, next to it called the Azure Serial Console, which allows you to do similar things, but that's more like when you want to troubleshoot, like if the VM doesn't boot anymore or something like that. This is basically kind of like the same thing, but the VM command one gives you a little bit more options there.
So interesting. So this is a great way to do automation, right? Because, you know, again, for those of you that have taken advantage of PowerShell or harnessing the CLI, having the ability to run these scripts directly to your VMs, it's a huge benefit, and it's a great time saver as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. I mean, think about when you create, instead of using, like, let's say you don't do infrastructure as code, you're using like a CLI or a PowerShell script, and that deploys a couple of VMs, and then you need to do some additional configuration inside these VMs. But depending on deployment, you don't know the IP address, you don't know the name, you don't want to add complexity to it, to that specific machine. So what you actually can do is you can just go and fire that. And the only thing you need is the resource group and the name of the VM in Azure, right? So you don't care about IP addresses or anything. And then you can fire up your Bash or PowerShell script and the automation will run through. Absolutely. It's not, as you're right, it's not just troubleshooting. You can also greatly use this to build automation for it as well.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome. All right, let's continue on with the news. Next announcement is the ability now in terms of the updates for Azure DevOps. A lot of functionality has been added. A lot, again, based on the feedback that a lot of people have been providing, especially, you know, those that are working from home. Whereas Microsoft would love everybody just to be using Teams, we do understand that other platforms like Slack are being utilized as well for communication. And so now there's the availability of including individuals in the pipeline into the boards and the repos directly from Slack as well as Teams. Also, the availability to actually have the repos when you're pushing up to the repos, the ability to add attachments and images. As you can see here, the attachment of the cute puppy. Right? So the whole ability to add on, maybe it's a architectural diagram that you're trying to attach, or it's a, you know, a screenshot of the application and the way it's supposed to be formatted amidst your implementation. You know, the functionality in Azure DevOps is such that it allows all IT professionals and developers to communicate and have that understanding in terms of moving the project forward and adding on additional functionality based on the feedback of our audience in terms of what capabilities should be added, that much more beneficial in terms of utilization and understanding in terms of what's trying to be accomplished on behalf of the organization. I think the inclusion of imagery and attachments is a huge benefit because of the fact that there's now, it takes away a lot of the guesswork in terms of this update affects the architecture in this way, and you can actually document that in terms of imagery, whereas before it would have to be in a written text. Thomas, I know you and I and actually the whole team use Azure DevOps quite extensively. I can see this being a huge advantage, especially when we're creating, you know, we create a lot of videos and we create a lot of documentation on architecture, including this into repos for visualization. It's a huge benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are using it pretty heavily now for, especially for our, I mean, not just development, but also like to plan our task and what our teams are doing. And we have a couple, I think, of blog posts out there, which actually describing, like, for example, how our team is using Azure DevOps, basically like the board version, to actually manage tasks and schedule different events and manage our content and stuff like that. And then obviously, like all of these improvements is very, very welcome. I think a lot of teams, not just we in Microsoft, but a lot of teams who were like in Microsoft are very, very, are very going to like this improvement of Azure DevOps. And again, adding pictures and stuff like that, it sounds a little bit like, at the beginning when you mention it, it sounds like, yeah, okay. But actually, again, as you mentioned, it makes a lot of sense. It makes things a lot easier if you can actually do like attachments like this to your pull requests, for example.
So let's talk about what's happening this next week, this upcoming week. I know, again, a lot of preparation around Build. But before we talk about that, there was an event that you wanted to make mention of.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, there's next week. We do a lot of preparations for Build and other events we're working on. But next week we have the Microsoft Virtual Training Week in Germany. So this is actually like kind of like Berlin was planned to have Microsoft Ignite the tour, right? And as of the situation we are currently in, we had to cancel this. So what the subsidiary decided was, let's create a virtual event. And so they created this Microsoft Virtual Training Week, which is going to be over, I think, 4 days of different content around Microsoft technology. So they will include Microsoft 365, Azure, Windows Server migration tracks and stuff like that. So they will have basically all the stuff, a lot of content around which we would have had at Microsoft Ignite the Tour, but this one is going to be online. And they want to make it very interactive for people to join and ask questions. And so that is also where our team provides a couple of presentations as well. So I'm really looking forward for that one.
And you being a man of many talents, you're actually delivering the sessions in German.
Yes, that's correct. Well, they're kind of translated. It's going to be the same ones, but I'm going to use my German skills to present those. Yes. So if you want to see me speak German or hear me speak German, I should say, you should definitely tune in next week. Even though if you don't understand German, just tune in for fun to see me speak German. So that's going to be definitely a fun week for us.
And are the sessions going to be recorded to be viewed after?
Yes. So the sessions are also going to be available on demand. So if you're basically a German speaking person and you want to have access to these sessions, you can have that. I highly recommend that you register for the event, because that is also your account or your email address you will need to access the on demand version, right? So highly recommend, go out, even if you can't watch it next week. Just register for the event to make sure that you get the on-demand links and you can watch the sessions later. And they will be available over a certain time for you to access. So again, make sure you register. Just quickly use Bing and look for Microsoft Virtual Training Week Germany, and you will find the specific link.
Now, what's been interesting is, with all this work that's going on in terms of the German subsidiary and the Canadian subsidiary just finishing off their online training piece as well, us moving into Build, there is going to be customization on the courses that are being shared that'll be specific to each region. So I know that Canada, as an example, has a day, they haven't provided the times as to when, that is specifically to address the Canadian audience. Again, this is not to compete with all the other content that's out there. But if you are a Canadian viewer of the Build event, there will be custom tailored content specifically to address the needs of Canadians, and the same with Germans and Europeans and you know, all countries. All subsidiaries are all in on the upskilling of everybody, specifically through geo regions.
Oh, that's actually cool. So you're actually going to help, I guess, with the Canadian sub delivering content for Build?
Yeah, so I'm delivering content. So is producer Pierre. Our colleague Sonia Cuff is actually going to be hosting alongside the Australian sub for Australia. Our team is all tasked around the globe in terms of supporting the initiative for Build. And I love the fact that it's us all coming together and supporting, even though we're, you know, representing different countries, it's still, you know, that one message of enablement, that one message of empowerment, your favorite word, of the adoption of Azure technologies. And doing so not only from the, you know, the general stance in terms of adoption, but also taking it to the grassroots and then really addressing the audiences that we all represent in terms of our nationalities, coming together and bringing the ideas that we've learned from other countries back to our home countries and sharing that as well.
Yeah. So I have a quick question for you, by the way.
Just shoot.
You told me you're going to make it a little bit more Canadian, eh? How are you going to do that? Like, if you tell me, like, making more Canadian, you're probably going to wear this hat and, like, have some beavers in the pictures and probably drink maple syrup or something maple like that. Syrup.
Actually, Mother Nature is helping out. It is May the 8th, and it's snowing in Ottawa right now, and they're actually calling for snow where I'm at in Toronto as well for tomorrow. So we're going to have snow, and I'll have to find some sled dogs in an igloo. No. You know what? When I say making it more Canadian, 80% of the Canadian market is small, medium-sized business. And so when we're addressing the adoption of technologies in terms of the Canadian, you know, audience, it is such that, you know, directly focuses on that in terms of that adoption. You know, most think, you know, cloud adoption is enterprise-based and you know, small, medium-sized businesses can't take advantage of this. That's totally incorrect. And there's a multitude of ways that, you know, a lot of organizations in the Canadian marketplace can take advantage of cloud services specifically focused on small, medium-sized business. What about you and where you're at? How does the message differentiate from adoption?
I mean, I completely agree, right? It's really like depending on where, like facing our customers where they are right now, right? And addressing this in a way they can understand it and like translating it for different audiences, right? At the end, we are like one Microsoft and we have one message, but like sometimes it needs a little bit of translation for the different audiences. I also want to ask you, by the way, when we speak about different audiences, I know we are basically focused on IT professionals. So why are we speaking at Build?
It's an interesting thing. And I get this question a lot as well. We are speaking at Build because of the fact that we're all technologists. We're all supporting and enabling the organizations that we support. And it's that enablement and understanding of the services that doesn't just fall on developers' hands. Developers have to understand how to create amidst these services that do best, support the organization. We as IT professionals have to understand how to manage, how to deploy, how to secure. You know, the whole DevOps initiative that, you know, was this big thing a couple of years ago and has now pretty much become normal practice is the whole piece now where the communication between IT professionals and developers makes the conversation and relationship stronger. And so in terms of attending events like Build, and there are a plethora of IT professionals that are joining the event in regards to upskilling and understanding what services are being launched. What a great way to have that conversation organically with the developers that are also attending in terms of best practices or why would we adopt said services or ideas that are being shared amidst all the technology that's being learned.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. To be honest, I don't feel like we should make a lot of developers or IT pro or whatever. For me, when I write content, when I create content, I don't have I don't say, hey, like I write this for IT pros or write this for developers, right? I write this for whoever needs it,
right?
For a specific to have that solution out there, and. Yeah, that's basically like what I do, right? And I don't care if you're a developer, if you're working with machine learning data, or if you're an IT pro. I'm like writing for all of you, right? I think that is the key here, absolutely. So should we move on to the learning module of the week?
Yep, let's move on. Microsoft Learn module of the week. If you want to check out Microsoft Learn, it's microsoft.com/learn. And this week's module of the week is managing device identity with Azure AD Join and enterprise state roaming. You saw the announcements of the Surface Go 2, the Surface Book 3. You want to include these in terms of your organization to deploy, to secure, to manage. Here's a great module that'll run you through the paces in terms of how do you use certificates in Azure AD to verify that devices are secure to be operated on your infrastructure in attaching those certificates to an AD profile. so that, you know, this device has been vetted. It meets all the requirements. We'll push out the certificate to this device. When it connects to the domain, it's automatically allowed to connect to the domain or to connect to the architecture to gain access to the resources. And this, you know, again, timely because of all the announcements of the new hardware that are being launched. A lot of, you know, individuals that are supporting the organization are looking, you know, for ways to verify the devices are valid to be running on the architecture. And so here's a great upskilling measure that's made available in this module to go through in the hands-on labs and understand how to apply certificates for the aspect of verification to run on one's architecture.
Yep. No, this is, again, very excited. To be honest, I'm more or less a user of this. And we are like, I'm super happy that our devices are joined using Azure AD, right? And we can basically work from anywhere at any time. And so I'm super happy that we have these solutions. And to be honest, I feel like when I look at my colleagues working with these device management, with Microsoft Intune and all of that, I'm like, wow, this is really different than like the things I did, like let's say 10 years ago, right? Where we were working on-prem in our little castle.
Hopefully our boss is watching the show and, you know, in our excitement to get new hardware, like the Surface Book 3 and the Surface Go 2. I'll take a Surface Book 3. I don't need the Go. A little bit too small of a unit. I guess at my age, I need a bigger screen. The whole aspect of, you know, new hardware. And then I would love to test out the certificate because we actually use the certificate implementation as well for security on our devices. So I'd love to have that opportunity to test. Rick Claus, if you're listening in, love that Surface Book 3. Just to let you know, Scott's already got one. We'd like to get one too. So again, a great way to test out this module. So that's this week's show. We've, you know, actually shortened it down to 30 minutes. There was a request to make it a little bit tighter. Maybe too much banter between you and I, but that's okay. As always, thank you, Producer Pierre. Producer Pierre can be followed at Wired Canuck. And with me, as always, is Thomas Maurer.
Yep, at Thomas Maurer on Twitter.
Perfect. And you can follow me at Wireless Life. Thank you, everyone, for a great show. Do leave your comments below if you have any questions or comments that we can bring up in our next show. And we'll see you next week.